kindness, love, and wisdom. This concludes Buddha's Brain by Rick Hansen. Sane New World by Ruby Wax. In Sane New World, author Ruby Wax explains how we can better handle the stress of the modern world, pressures our brains just are not naturally equipped to handle. She outlines concrete steps you can take to curb anxiety, depression, and fear, and lead a happier life. With dedication, you will learn how to rewire your brain, replacing destructive habits with much healthier ones. The stresses of the modern world never stop. We spend more and more time at work, and work itself is more demanding. So, we should not be surprised that stress-related illnesses are on the rise. Yet, even though so many people suffer from mental health problems, they often suffer in silence. Illnesses like depression are still largely ignored or misunderstood, meaning that those who suffer find it increasingly harder to cope on their own. This book will help explain the science behind stress and how it affects not only our minds, but also our bodies. While we all may suffer from the effects of stress at some point, there are ways to conquer stress and create a more positive space where we can live happier lives. When was the last time you felt insecure or envious? It probably was not too long ago. We all suffer from negative thoughts, inspired by a variety of reasons. That inner voice that tells you you've done something wrong developed when you were a child. When you were young, parents and teachers would tell you what to do and what not to do. While important as we're growing up, this guidance often morphs into a voice that makes us insecure and unhappy. This critical voice doesn't like change and doesn't want to deal with new, unpredictable situations. Imagine you're at a party. You might only speak to people you already know, as your inner voice is telling you that if you talk to a stranger, they might not like you. Here's the problem. If you're unhappy with your life, your inner voice may be preventing you from taking steps to change it. When we are unhappy, it is often because we are constantly wanting something, yet we're never satisfied when we get it. We may feel temporary happiness, but the moment passes quickly. Some people deal with this permanent state of dissatisfaction by keeping themselves busy with unhealthy behaviors, so they don't have to think about what they really want to do in life. You might want to be a team leader in your company, for example. If you get a promotion, however, you'll initially be happy about your new status and increased income, but eventually you might feel burdened by the increased workload and responsibility. So, you may just try to keep busy with your new job, even if you do not enjoy it. Gradually, you'll get burned out, and then feel even more unhappy. Evolution has allowed us to adapt to all sorts of situations, but did you know that basic emotions like jealousy are the same now as they were millions of years ago? Our emotions are underdeveloped, and anger is the clearest example of this. In the earlier age, anger helped us defend ourselves or get things we needed for survival. It might empower a person to fight a rival for food or a partner. Situations like these were relatively brief and could be resolved easily through a fight, so our rage would quickly dissipate afterward. Today, however, things are different. Things that make us angry are mostly related to stress, triggers that are often long-term and ongoing. we are also taught to fight with words, not with fists. Imagine your secretary forgot to tell you that an important client called 4 days ago. You might feel angry, but you can only say that you're angry, which will not necessarily make your anger go away. These days, we carry around lots of angry feelings, yet have no way to get rid of them like we did in the old days with a fight. Feelings of envy are also a basic, primal emotion that can drive us mad. Envy pushed our ancestors to strive for higher ranks in a clan or other social hierarchy. This privilege could get a person more food or a better mate, for example, so we often sought the highest rung on the social ladder. Today, envy doesn't spur us to be a clan chief, yet it does push us to strive to be better than our peers. This also relates to our continuous desire for more and to be somewhat special. But we can't all be a celebrity or CEO of a major business. Yet we still long for these things we can't possibly ever achieve. Our primitive emotions thus drive us to be unhappy. Accepting that your emotions are natural is the first step toward developing a better way to deal with them. Some people are touched more by negative emotions than others. 1 in 4 people are said to suffer from depression, a condition that as a society we are still struggling to understand. Depression often comes with a stigma. When people suffer from depression, they are often afraid to open up to others about their problems. A person who wants to curb their depression often feels helpless and struggles with self-loathing. The stigma surrounding their condition only exacerbates this, as depressed people often feel they will be rejected by others because they are depressed. This cycle often causes depressed people to feel as if they are alone in their suffering, which can deepen the depression even more so. Depression is actually a serious illness caused by chemical imbalances in the brain. The good news is that it can be treated. Treatments for depression often include therapy and drugs. Such treatments can help lessen the symptoms of depression, but side effects and the overwhelming feelings of helplessness associated with depression can still linger and cause tremendous mental anguish. If you are depressed, try reaching out to other people who have experienced depression themselves. You'll see that you are not alone, and you can find support. People who have suffered may also have meaningful advice on how to get through depressive periods. Importantly, learn to read your body's signals. Develop practices for calming yourself and regaining your strength. When the author suffered from depression herself, she developed obsessions. She'd be determined to find a certain pillow, for instance, and could not cope until she did. To overcome this, she began practicing mindfulness, or a non-judgmental way of paying attention to one's emotions. This gradually helped her to see her pillow obsession for what it really was, just an obsession. It is critical to accept that it is not your fault when you experience negative emotions or depression. To gain a deeper understanding of your mental health issues, however, you need to understand how your own brain works. Though your culture and your family interactions certainly help determine the way you act, the brain is the main influencer of your behavior. Your brain essentially contains 3 different parts. The reptilian brain, responsible for primal urges like eating and mating, the limbic system, which helps us nurture children, and the prefrontal cortex, which manages self-control and consciousness. These parts work simultaneously, so sometimes our actions or thoughts contradict each other. Have you ever wondered how a completely rational, intelligent person who studies philosophy could fly into an absolute rage over something simple like he can't find his keys? That happens when the reptilian brain decides that the situation is a matter of survival, whereas the prefrontal cortex deals instead with intellectual tasks. Our emotions and behavior are also affected by hormones like serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins. These hormones increase our energy level, reduce stress, and make us seek rewards. People who have too many or too few of these hormones can suffer. Antidepressants sometimes try to fill in for hormones that are lacking, but this is complicated and there can be serious side effects. People who suffer from Parkinson's disease, for instance, lack dopamine in the area of their brain that controls movement. Unfortunately, we don't yet know how to send dopamine to only that particular area of the brain. Instead, the whole brain receives an increased dose of dopamine. Unfortunately, in some cases, this can cause addictive disorders such as alcoholism. Today, it is common for people to feel depressed or burnt out and blame it on stress. But why is stress such a big problem? Humans have always had to deal with anxiety and stress. Our ancestors, however, only experienced stress in unusual or dangerous situations. We deal with it every day. Our brains retain negative memories more effectively than positive ones, as to react better to a similar situation if it occurs in the future. So, if you hear the growl of a hungry tiger, for example, you'll remember that very scary feeling and know that if you ever hear that sound again, you better get out of there. Today, this warning system is quite useless. We can't run away from the causes of today's stress, whether that be work, money, or family. As a result, we are perpetually bombarded with situations that we feel are threatening, but we cannot let go of the stress that accompanies those feelings. For example, if you're working toward a deadline, you might feel anxious about missing it or doing poor work. Your brain will store that information. The next time you have a deadline, you'll recall those bad feelings, even if you know you still have enough time to complete your work. Living in this constant state of alarm has physical and mental consequences. While the psychological stress doesn't actually make us sick, how our bodies react to the stress is the real problem. Mentally, stress absorbs our energy and willpower and leaves us exhausted and unmotivated. Physically, it inhibits our immune systems, leaving us more vulnerable to disease. And if you do get sick, you're likely to get even more stressed. Have you ever wondered why some people seem immune to stress? It is not because they ignore life's problems. It's just that their brains have good strategies for coping with stress. Even though a human brain is made up of the same parts, it develops differently in each individual. Brains transmit information through neurons. Each time you perform an action, the information your brain collects about the action causes the relevant neurons to communicate with each other. Because of this, your brain consists of an intricate network of many, many connections. When you learn, the connections between neurons grow stronger and stronger. Because the more neurons communicate, the stronger the bonds become between those neurons. This allows for certain actions to become automatic. The more you play the guitar, for example, the better you will become. The neurons that connect reading music and moving your fingers in a certain way strengthen over time as you practice. They'll eventually grow so strong that they can transmit information without you even thinking about it. You'll start playing without consciously moving each finger into the proper position for every chord or note. This doesn't just apply to learning the guitar. You can purposefully rewire your neural connections to make yourself happier. This is called neuroplasticity, or reshaping your neural network. Studies have shown that your experiences and the ways you think about them rewire your neurons. So, the more you do sports and enjoy doing them, the more you'll naturally see sporting activities as something fun and rewarding. Neuroplasticity isn't easy, however. It takes a lot of concentration and repetitive work. Yet, if you master it, you can literally rewire your own mind. There are many ways you can reduce stress, and practicing mindfulness is an effective solution. Mindfulness stems from Buddhism, but it developed as a therapeutic practice in the 1980s and 1990s. The father of mindfulness is Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn, who worked with people suffering from chronic diseases. He had them focus on their pain rather than trying to distract themselves from it, which actually helped reduce painful sensations and stress. The method was further developed by Mark Williams, John Tisdale, and Zindel Siegel, who applied it to emotional pain. Together, they founded Mindfulness-Based Cognitive Therapy, or MBCT. MBCT has a patient come face-to-face with their anger, fear, or other negative emotions with the goal of gradually understanding that such feelings are constantly changing, coming, and going. Eventually, a patient will see these emotions as separate from themselves, so they will be able to disassociate from them and feel better about themselves. More specifically, mindfulness is about self-regulating thoughts and emotions. It is about accepting that your mind is always in flux and learning to observe your thoughts without being hypercritical of them. So, strive to look at your inner world more objectively. Acknowledge your emotions and do not hide from them. When you reach a state of total awareness, you will be able to process your past and current experiences in a more straightforward, non-emotional manner. A perpetual state of stress can make you nervous and anxious. When you don't deal with your emotions, you risk falling into a vicious cycle. It is true, many people, for example, work more to distract themselves from the stress of working. Do not fall into this trap. Instead, take a step back. When you get a clear perspective on your bad behavior, you'll be able to overcome it. Mindfulness can help you gain control over depression and other problems, but it requires dedication. It is a good idea to do some mindfulness exercises every day. Here are two you can try yourself. The first exercise helps you identify your emotions and then disengage from them. It is called Recognition, Acceptance, Investigation, and Non-Identification, or RAIN. First, you recognize what is troubling you. It could be the fear of not meeting a deadline, for instance. Clearly identifying the problem will help to calm you down. Next, accept the fear. Remember that it is just an emotion and you can take charge of it. Then, try to investigate what exactly this negative emotion is doing to your body. Does it make your chest tighten? Are you losing sleep? Focus on your physical sensations and you'll understand your feelings more. Finally, step away from the emotion. Do not identify yourself with it, but let it pass. The second exercise, stopping and noticing, is quite simple, but you can also expand on it. Stopping and noticing calms your mind and strengthens your focus. Every now and then, stop for 5 seconds and notice what is happening in your mind. You can do it before or after eating or while you're brushing your teeth. Our minds all wander, and we slip into automatic pilot mode as we go through our day. This exercise helps bring back your focus. Concentrate on one of your senses. Close your eyes and listen to the sounds around you. Focus on your breath or how the chair you are sitting in feels. This will help you detect any negative emotions. Then you can start dealing with those emotions more directly. The more these exercises become a part of your routine, the more you will break your destructive habits and establish new patterns of healthy behavior. Practicing mindfulness may not be for everyone. We are all different. Other people may prefer yoga, reading, or simply taking a long walk. The most important thing is to find your personal anchor. Your anchor is what calms you down when your emotions are troubling you. Whatever stress-reducing technique you prefer, it is important that it heightens your awareness and attention to yourself. You need to be aware of your emotions to fully live in the present. It is also essential that you keep repeating your stress-reducing techniques, or else neuroplasticity, the rewiring of your brain, cannot take place. Apart from mindfulness, cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, is useful in analyzing yourself. It helps you reevaluate how you think so you can change the patterns that result in dysfunctional behavior. CBT allows you to assess your present situation. To practice CBT, take a moment and ask yourself the following questions. What is happening right now, and how does it make you feel? You might be late for work, for example, and feel anxious or ashamed. What are your automatic thoughts and physical sensations? Are you sweating? Is your heart pounding? Do you instantly feel like a failure because you are always late? What other information might balance the situation, and how can you prevent it in the future? Did you oversleep? That can happen to anyone, and the office is not going to burn down without you. Planning ahead for next time, you could get 2 alarm clocks, or make sure your partner will wake you up if you sleep in. Answering these questions will help you avoid being too tough on yourself, and you'll be better equipped to find a realistic solution to your problem. Final summary. We all struggle with emotional or mental issues, whether big or small. Our brains are simply not built for the constant stress we are subjected to in modern society. However, if we practice stress-reducing techniques, we can literally restructure how we think and cope to lead happier and healthier lives. This concludes Sane New World by Ruby Wax. The Mindful Athlete by George Mumford. The Mindful Athlete explains how to unlock your hidden superpowers by practicing mindfulness. When you learn how to channel your own inner divinity, you'll reach your peak performance in sport or any other field. Have you ever seen someone make a 90-yard touchdown run or complete the 100-meter dash in under 10 seconds? If you have, you'll know that such feats are things of beauty. They seem like things only a superhero could do, not the accomplishments of mere mortals. And these physical performances require more than just a well-trained body. So what enables these athletes to do what most people cannot? It is about training your mind and using its potential superpowers to reach top performance. But these techniques are not limited to improving your athleticism. Whether at work, in school, or just to improve life in general, we'd all like to enhance our performance. Using the concept of the mindful athlete as a jumping-off point, we'll explore the practices that will get you into peak condition. People find enlightenment in different ways. Some travel to India, others do yoga. For George Mumford, the author, it was the pain of hitting rock bottom that drove him to discover mindfulness, and, as a result, his own superpowers. Here is his story. In middle school, Mumford was a talented basketball player. He seemed poised for a professional career, and then he got injured while training. Instead of letting his body recover, however, he kept playing. This wore down his body and ruined his shot at a career in professional sports. So instead of playing for the NBA, he abandoned his dream and went to the University of Massachusetts, where he studied finance. Since childhood, he'd known only one way to deal with pain, whether emotional or physical: drown it in alcohol. To fight the chronic pain caused by his injuries, as well as the emotional pain caused by his compromised dreams, he began self-medicating, and his medicine of choice was whiskey. Mumford didn't smoke cigarettes or pot because he was concerned about how they would affect his physical growth, so when he started taking drugs, he went straight for heroin. In 1984, he got a severe staph infection. Mumford called this his ass-on-fire situation, or AOF. His AOF pushed him to finally make a change, so he joined his first 12-step program, Alcoholics Anonymous, or AA. His AA program was where he was first introduced to mindfulness, which in the 80s was called stress management. Through yoga and meditation, he learned to listen to his body instead of dulling the pain with drugs and alcohol. For years, Mumford continued practicing mindfulness at the Cambridge Insight Meditation Center and eventually left his job as a financial analyst to devote himself to teaching mindfulness to others. That is how Mumford came to develop the concept of the five superpowers: mindfulness, concentration, insight, right effort, and trust. Imagine you are giving a presentation. You cannot focus because you are worried about what the audience thinks of you. Mindfulness would be the savior here. But how do you become mindful? Mindfulness comes from within. Everyone has a quiet inner strength that can protect them from external distractions. Jon Kabat-Zinn, the godfather of mindfulness, said that mindfulness means paying attention to the present moment as if your life depended on it. Of course, that is easier said than done, because we are constantly surrounded by distractions. Our minds jump from topic to topic like a monkey swinging from branch to branch. Buddhists call this monkey mind. The monkey mind is hard to control, but you can pacify it by practicing Buddhism. And once you reach a high state of self-control, you'll find yourself in the zone. In sports, the zone is the ultimate experience. Athletes enter it when performing at their highest possible level. The psychologist Mile Sixcent believes the zone experience occurs when your skill and the situation's challenge are both high and equal to each other. The zone is like the calm at the center of a storm. It is what keeps the mindful athlete in the present moment. So, you need to be aware of your own thoughts and emotions. You can practice mindfulness meditation by sitting still, focusing on your breathing, and practicing bare awareness. staying aware of what's going on in your mind and body at the present moment. It is easy to get distracted while doing this. You might feel a breeze, for example, and recall a nice memory and start to dwell on it. You can avoid this by becoming a watcher. Being a watcher means watching what is happening in your mind instead of letting it control you. Stay in charge of your thoughts. Do not let it be the other way around. In the 2013 NBA playoffs, some camera people caught LeBron James sitting courtside with closed eyes, focusing on his breathing. Concentrating on breathing like this is one of the most fundamental parts of practicing mindfulness. You can enter a state of relaxation by controlling your breathing. Think of the space between an inhalation and an exhalation as your inner center, where your watcher watches everything. This kind of awareness of breath, or AOB, brings you back to the present moment. Our breathing works in tandem with two other parts of our autonomous nervous system, both of which regulate our heart rate and other body functions. The first is the sympathetic system, which is activated by fear, anxiety, and stress. It floods our body with stress hormones, increases our blood pressure, and makes our breathing shallow. The second is the parasympathetic system, which lowers our heart rate and makes us more relaxed. And when you focus on your breathing, your parasympathetic system kicks into action. Conscious breathing can also get you into moments of flow. The easiest way to practice AOB is to sit down, close your eyes, and concentrate on air moving in and out of your lungs. You can also lie down and do an internal body scan where you imagine breathing through different parts of your body. You don't get into a state of flow by stopping your concentration. You get into it by concentrating on as few stimuli as possible. Our brains generally focus on a number of things simultaneously. Reducing that number is what will get you in the zone. That's why LeBron James was focusing on his breathing. It allowed him to be in the zone when he stepped back onto the court. There are a lot of talented people in this world, but few of them actually reach their full potential. Why is that? Because they don't fully believe in themselves. Most people aren't fully aware of the effect their beliefs have on their life. Our beliefs don't just exist in our heads. They manifest themselves as habits. So, if you want to change your behavior, you have to think about your habits and the underlying thoughts behind them. In other words, you need to understand the emotional blueprint your beliefs are founded upon. Here is another way to think about it. Scrutinizing the thoughts behind your habits is like looking under the hood of your car rather than just staring at the dashboard. Everyone has a unique collection of emotional blueprints, which includes their insecurities and other negative emotions. It is important to be aware of these emotional blueprints because the negative ones can build up over time and burst out in negative actions. That's what happened when Zinedine Zidane, one of the most talented soccer players in history, lost his temper and headbutted Marco Maserati in the 2006 World Cup. Succumbing to negativity like this will only hinder your progress. Practicing mindfulness means letting go of who you think you are, so accept negative emotions like anger or resentment for what they truly are, fleeting distractions that should not define you. Look at mistakes and failures this way too. Your mistakes do not define who you are, and failures are just opportunities to learn and improve yourself. Michael Jordan, one of the best basketball players of all time, embraced this idea in his failure commercial for Nike. "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career," he said. "Lost almost 300 games. I have failed over and over again in my life. That is why I succeed." Are you familiar with the Greek myth of Sisyphus? Sisyphus, a deceitful king, was punished by the gods. They condemned him to push a boulder up a hill. When he reached the top, however, the boulder would always roll back down again, and he'd have to start all over. He had to repeat this task for all eternity. The gods punished Sisyphus by forcing him to focus on a future goal which he was doomed to never achieve. In order to avoid a Sisyphean fate, be sure that you put in the right kind of effort when journeying through life. A person who puts in the right kind of effort is a sort of spiritual warrior. Bruce Lee is a famous example. Martial artists like Lee use their intuition to connect with the zone. They focus on the journey, not the final destination. Carlos Castaneda, a famous anthropologist, once said that spiritual warriors don't earn their victories by beating their heads against the wall. They earn them by jumping over the wall instead. So, when your actions align with wholesome, positive thoughts like love, kindness, compassion, and generosity, that is the right kind of effort for your path. Another part of reaching your maximum performance is letting situations play out by themselves, not concerning yourself with the outcome. Mindfulness, initially, is about knowing yourself and focusing on the present. However, in order to reach the highest possible level, you need to be able to forget yourself and let the situation go and play itself out. That doesn't mean you forget yourself completely. It just means you keep yourself at a distance from the situation and allow it to run its course. Shaun White, the famous snowboarder, did this when he won the gold medal in 2010 with a trick he had never done before. He said he felt completely focused and, at the same time, detached from what was going on. When you hear the word faith, you might think of religions like Christianity, Islam, or Buddhism. Mindful athletes have another kind of faith, however, a faith in the self. Faith is related to the concept of God, a word that means different things to different people. But the idea of God is really about trusting the divinity within yourself. You have to understand the concept of God to master the last superpower. Annette Lamott, the famous author, said it doesn't matter what name you give to this idea. You can call it a force or even something random like Howard. The point is that it is the divine spark within yourself. It is beyond human comprehension. Mumford calls this inner divinity the Buddha nature. We all have it, and we all have the potential to awaken it. It doesn't come from the external environment. You find it by looking within. That is why Sheldon Kopp titled his book, "If You Met a Buddha on the Road, Kill Him." He means that if you ever encounter someone who claims to be the chosen one, he's really just a false god. Trusting in yourself instead of looking for guidance from others fosters your own self-efficacy. Mindfulness allows you to connect with higher forms of consciousness, and you can build a strong spiritual foundation by practicing it, and that will keep you open to the unknown and limitless future. This openness is the ultimate form of self-empowerment. That is why the fifth superpower, trust, is all about self-confidence and staying open to new ideas. When you live with this full faith in yourself, mindfulness becomes your conviction. in the end, you'll fully believe in yourself and know you can handle any challenge along your path. Final summary. Focus on the present. Throughout the day, we are distracted by all kinds of stimuli. But when you narrow your focus and concentrate on your body, your breathing, and your inner self, you can unlock your full potential and connect with higher levels of consciousness. Mindfulness is the key to reaching your peak performance, whether you are on or off the court. This concludes The Mindful Athlete by George Mumford. Hey guys, thank you so much for checking out this program. If you enjoyed this program, it would really help me out if you just clicked the little 5-star rating before you leave. That helps me out a lot in rankings and allows me to continue doing what I love full time. All right guys, today's book is over, and remember, good things may come to those who wait, but great things come to those who do not. The end.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.